I have so many things to say, but I have only about 20 or 25 minutes. I don't know where to start. But let me thank you and for this wonderful opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. Of course, I thank God, because it's God who enabled us to come together this morning. A few days ago, I saw in a website, you know, I regularly visit website and then listen those good messages from John and Jeremy and Andy and all that. One day I saw the website that I was speaking this morning in the church. I was surprised. And at the beginning they said, all are welcome. And then I wrote, okay, well, I'm going to start my journey for this service Thursday. So I started my journey last Thursday for this morning service. It took me 3-4 days to come and reach here. So thank God and thank all of you for coming this morning. Of all that I wanted to say, I wanted to do in this trip, if I may say in one word, the purpose of my coming this time, there's only one word or sentence. That's all for Jesus. All for Jesus. That is the reason why I took the time. I took all that I have to take to come and visit you this morning. Of course, many other people this morning. That is something that I want to invite all of you, my friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, to consider all that we have, all that we are, and we want to be, what we hope to be in the future. Only for Jesus. That is the simple message that I came to share. And Father, I would like to invite every one of you to spend some time with me reflecting on this important theme and ask God what God wants to say to us this morning. We're going to see this important theme, all for Jesus, in the context of the partnership between Paul and the church in Philippi. And that has been read to us already. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. I want to make four observations from here and then relate those four observations to what we are doing in the ministry of the Lord. So later part of my talk will be a kind of report of what the Lord has done in and through our work in India. But let me observe four points first from these verses, and then we will go to some practical things that we want to do after seeing how Paul and the church in Philippi have done in their service for the Lord. The first observation, I put this way: greetings as if all was good. A word of greetings as if there was no problem at all. Everything was good. That's what we see from the verses 1 to 2. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the phrase grace and peace to you implies that Paul's inner peace and comfort when he wrote this letter. You know, the greeting shows that there was no problem at all. Life was good. Nothing happened. That's what it implies. But the difficulty is that Paul wrote this letter from prison. That's what most scholars believe, that this letter was written from prison in AD 62. The question is that how could he possibly write this comforting, consoling greeting when he himself was in the prison, as if nothing was happened to him? So that's the first observation. What made Paul to write this letter, this greeting, as if nothing was happening to him? No problem at all. The first observation. The second observation is the interrupted flow of support from God through the people in Philippi. Verse 3 reads, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ. Paul did two things here. The first, he thanks his God. When did he thank? Every time. Every time he remembers the church in Philippi, Paul thanks God. This is something. It is something. Every time he remembers the church in Philippi, he thanks God. He thanks God. That is something. Difficult to do this for everybody. Second thing he did, in all his prayers for his partners, ministry partners, he prays with joy because of their partnership right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. First, he remembers, whenever he remembers those people, he thanks God. He prays God. Whenever he prays for them, he prays with joy. He prays with joy. Because of their partnership right from the beginning. And he also knew that what the Lord has done in and through them will be accomplished one day. How many of us, how often can we say this? I remember you. Whenever I remember you, I thank God. Whenever I pray for you, I pray with joy. Can we say this? Can I say this about you? Can we say this about myself? Paul and the church in Philippi have done this, and this is something that's so important for us as a people of God this morning. Here we can see that there is a very strong, an intimate and lasting connection, lasting partnership between the partners in the gospel of Paul and Paul himself, and is because of God's grace. The first observation we say that how could possibly Paul was able to write this comforting and consoling greeting. Now we can see that this could have been the reason that made Paul able to write that peaceful, consoling greeting, because of the partnership. Very strong, intimate partnership between Paul and the church in Philippi. How beautiful it is for us in our works for Christ today. I understand that this church has done amazing work for the Lord. You have been connected to so many people around the world. How important it is for us to feel the same, both yourself and those whom you have helped work with in different parts of the world. Very strong partnership. The third observation is the result of that partnership. Verse 12 reads, "Now I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dared all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." The result of that lasting, intimate partnership between Paul and the church in Philippi. There are a few results that we see. One is that the imprisonment of Paul has served to advance the gospel, because the news spread all over the world saying that Paul was in prison because of Christ. First result. Second, because of that, the brothers and sisters have become bold enough to tell about Christ without fear. How important it is for us, both in Britain and also in my hometown, my country, India, where we feel so scared about talking about Jesus. The connection between Paul and the church in Philippi produced this amazing works and encouraging and enabling people to speak for Christ boldly. Amazing. The third result, verse 15 says, "Look, it's not only the believers who become bold enough to talk about Christ, but also those people who are against the gospel are talking about Jesus. Of course, they have evil planted in their mind. Doesn't matter." Paul says, the name of Jesus is being preached. I'm reminded of a recent happen in India. The picture of Jesus was printed in the sandal so that people can stamp on that. This must have been to mock the people who believe in that person, Jesus. But Paul says, doesn't matter. The fourth observation, Paul says, doesn't matter. In every way, the name of Jesus is being preached. Therefore, I rejoice. I rejoice. I want us to think this way, that all that we do, including in mission, God's work, the buildings that we built will be gone after a few years. All that we do will be gone after a few years. But what is going to remain is the Jesus, the name of Jesus alone. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. I think you are in between of this wonderful Bible study, Sunday morning classes, and the gap we have this morning, right for us to sit back and reflect on this. All that we do, including our mission work around the world, is nothing unless it brings the name of Jesus high, known to people. Can we take this as an encouragement to speak about Jesus boldly? In some way, my humble request or prayer is that we all become bold enough to speak about Jesus more because of this partnership.